6:45, and as you've been hearing in the forecast this morning, 60% chance of rain for Regina tomorrow. I think a lot of lawns, a lot of yards could certainly use a drink courtesy of the sky. Joined on the line this morning by Rick Van Dyvendyke of Dutch Growers, of course, and of Garden Talk right here on 980 CJME every Sunday morning at 9. Good morning to you, Rick.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you doing?
I am doing fantastic. It's a Friday morning. We have the weekend ahead of us. But as I look in my backyard, Rick, when I go to my backyard, my grass. So there is one spot, one patch that I'm going to throw you a question of. So I grew it last year and it worked well. I used burlap. It came in beautifully. That patch was no longer a patch. It fit in with the rest of the lawn. I used that easy seed stuff. And so once the snow melted, it showed that patch didn't survive the winter. So here I go again, all over again. It's a new patch. What happened?
Well, it depends what happened in that area. A lot of people are having problems with piling up snow. And so if it's a spot where you pile up snow all the time, you get a lot of snow mold happening. So that could be one thing. And the snow mold was brutal this last winter. And so then you might, if it's, like I said, if it's a place where you pile the snow, if that's not the place, if it's just an area, there might be a patch of bad soil underneath there that you're having trouble.
Yep.
But also, when you also put the seed down, make sure you get a good Canada number one mix. That's important. And so because you don't want to get just a blend of grass that is not hardy for Saskatchewan. That's very important. So
Canada number one mix.
Canada number one mix, and that's usually a good mixture of Kentucky Blues and Fescues, which will blend your lawn in really nice like you did, and but then we'll be able to stand the winters. And then don't forget in the fall, make sure that you're slowing down your lawn in the fall, you know, in September and October.
Yeah.
And then give it one last good watering before you do the last blowout of the sprinklers, and then you should be set to go.
Excellent. So you and Greg last week talked about, on the show recently, caterpillars. Caterpillars, yeah. Canker worms. There's still a problem, though. You're still getting a lot of calls about these.
Yeah, getting lots of calls. People listen to the heebie-jeebies when they see all the caterpillars around, and they're on the crawl like crazy right now, too. They're moving from the plant they were born on, and moving around to try to find even places for, you know, to start putting the cocoons on so they can go into a moth for making next year's caterpillar. So, yeah, just watching for those right now especially, and spraying a product called BTK is really good. If you still see the nest, you can just go up there and actually just squish them, you know, or cut the branch off and step on them.
Nothing scientific about it.
No, it's really, really simple. And but the canker worms, just remember, we'll be talking about that later on in the fall. When they start crawling up the tree again, the females, then we can start banding the trees. You see that quite often around, you know, people are banding the trees. And then that stops the female from laying eggs up on top of the tree.
Rick Van Dyvendyke of Dutch Growers and Garden Talk here with me this morning. So let's talk mulch, Rick. How much do I need and what's best?
Well, yeah, it was a little bit of a talk about, you know, conserving water and that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of interest in mulch and trying to figure out. And they've been asking, what kind of mulch do I use? Can I use rock? Can I use bark? What can I use? And the good question is, if you got lots of plants, the best thing to use is just use a good mulch. I like using a cedar mulch because it has a natural preservative in it, so it lasts a long time. And what happens when you use mulch, and if you put it about, people ask, well, how thick do I put it to stop the weeds and hold moisture? And the not real easy number is 3 inches. And you put mainly 3 inches, except for right against the trunk or the trunk of the shrubs or the tree, is go down to about 1 inch, just right tight against the branch, the tree. You don't want to be 3 or 4 inches up the tree itself because it's not good for the bark. But and I suggest if you use mulch around shrubs and trees, don't use landscape fabric. The mulch will break down and make nice nutrients for the plant, whereas the plastic mulch, like landscape fabric, it actually makes the soil like almost musty, moldy underneath, so it's not as good. Rock you can use in areas where you don't have plants, and then I would use a landscape fabric underneath for that, And that, because the rocks you're not putting quite as thick, and then that way it will keep the weeds from coming up.
We're still waiting for that rain, aren't we? It's tough, I think. I know, even as I look at my lawn, I'm like, oh, can it not rain so I don't have to? And especially last week when you and Greg were talking, we had, it since been lifted, but water restriction. We were supposed to be conserving the amount of water we were using. And I'm just like, I still don't really want to use a whole lot of water. I'm just hoping the sky will open up, but it's a challenge, isn't it?
It's a challenge. I mean, I remember the days when we used to get 3 or 4 day soakers, and we could use that big time. Just one, you know, one day is not really helping. We need a good 3 day soaker where it just rains steady all day long.
Absolutely. Us and especially those up north, wildfire territory. Rick, always appreciate your time.
Have a great weekend, Kevin.
You too. Rick Van Dyvendyk of Dutch Growers. And as well, you can hear Rick on Garden Talk every Sunday morning here at 9 on 980 CJME.
I'm feeling like a dog in heat. Barred in doors from the summer street. I locked the door to my own cell and I lost a key.
6:55, your Friday morning is here. Of course, last night's 26,000 almost. That was the announced attendance. The Rough Riders home opener at Mosaic Stadium.
The Saskatchewan Rough Riders like this, the opening night in the 2025 Canadian Football League season belongs to the home side. Saskatchewan beats the Ottawa Redblacks 31-26.
Joining me now in the newsroom, Andrew Shepherd. You aren't hurt, are you?
I think I'm okay.
You're okay.
Are you okay?
Okay. I'm okay as well.
They pulled it off. So
lot of riders went down last night, and you're right. They still pulled it off. It was a little. I think as we were watching, Ottawa comes out and its opening drive gets a touchdown, and immediately we're thinking, oh man, here we go.
And then the failed field goal attempt, that was weird. That didn't go off, and then threw it back to Lawther, and then he just kind of had to kick it away.
And it was like one of those, oh man, is this what the season's going to,
foreshadowing? And then a fumble too right after that.
But they got it together. They got it together kind of midpoint, second, third quarters. They came out and they did well despite the injuries. And then they hung on despite last push by Ottawa. So I think a lot of fans.
I think Ken Schaefer Baker's injured along with Roland Milligan Jr.
Defensive Player of the Year. Yeah, right. Yeah, AJ Ouellette.
AJ Ouellette. Yeah. Yeah. So, and some big names there.
Another
important
defensive lineman goes down too. So this is one of the talking to Belton Johnson yesterday. That was what he was saying. We talked about a little bit this morning too, saying that this could be said. What could be a weakness for this team, and it's not really a weakness, it's just if a lot of players go down with injuries, which could be the case for any team. So hopefully the injuries aren't too serious. We don't know that yet, and hopefully these players that are hurt.
But as Darryl Davis pointed out on the post-game show, like if you have those key players injured but still are able to come together and pull off a win, then that's good to see.
Absolutely. Hey, we have some announcement this morning, we'll call it, a special effort, Rolco Radio, and this has to do with wildfires, the wildfires up north, and those impacted, Andrew.
Yeah, on Thursday, June 12th, Rolco Radio is holding a Day of Caring to help those impacted by the wildfires. Now, we've done various Day of Carings in the past. We did it for Fort McMurray when it was evacuated due to wildfires. We did it 3 years ago for Ukraine. I think we even raised, you in Saskatchewan helped us raise $1 million that day for Ukraine.
Incredible.
So same thing we're doing on Thursday of next week. And all the money will go to the Red Cross, the Saskatchewan Red Cross, and it'll be all six of our stations in Saskatchewan joining this Day of Caring.
And there's some development this morning as well. We talk about LaRange, and we're trying to get clarity on this, but there is a new alert out for LaRange this morning.
Yeah, LaRange was already evacuated, but then another emergency alert went out this morning around 5, another evacuation order. We're assuming it's for people who may still be there. For people in LaRange and Eagle Point, they're being told to leave immediately. It seems like the situation is getting worse around that area, and that a fire is heading towards the industrial park, which is, as far as I know, is just northeast of LaRange. So it looks like, again, again, we saw earlier this week, the Rona and the trading post burned down. That was further south, like right into LaRonge. This is up at the northeast end. Looks like it's now kind of threatening there again. So they're still not out of it.
Andrew Shepherd will be back in about a minute with the very latest in the news. CJME News Time is now 6:58. You make my heart sing. 7:16 on your Friday morning. Kevin Martell in for Greg Morgan today again, next week, and then part of the week after that. This morning, we're giving away a pair of Regina Red Sox home tickets along with a swag package. If you want your name entered for a chance to win, all you have to do is text us your favorite baseball movie. Your favorite baseball movie, text it in to 1-877-300-7275. And we'll give those tickets away just after the 8 o'clock news. I would say my favorite baseball movie, either Major League 1 or 2. I like both of them. I think I saw Major League 2 first. Just because I was at that age where it kind of it was on, and I remember seeing it. I went back and watched Major League the original, and it was just as good. Major League 1 or 2, or Little Big League. That one is maybe a little bit of a deeper cut. This was like tailored right to somebody my age at that time. It's about a boy who somehow becomes manager of the Minnesota Twins. A ridiculous premise, only in the 90s. Producer Frank, he says Sandlot, classic. That one is very, very good. I probably saw that right around the same time that I saw Little Big League the first time. I tried to watch Field of Dreams. I've never seen Field of Dreams. And so here I was, I think it was on Crave. And I turned it on. And I was like, oh, yeah, rub on my hands. I'm finally going to do it. And it was in French. It's like, what? They didn't actually have the English version on. So I couldn't. I still haven't seen it. One of these days I'll watch it. I hear it's really good. Hey, lots going on this weekend. Mosaic, big event for the city. 200,000 people. This is always something that gets a lot of people excited. And 15 pavilions in all this year. Down a little bit from last year. Last year had 18. But still, you're going to see a lot of people. And almost half the pavilions this year, as they've been in the last number of years, are at Real District, including the always popular Greek Pavilion.
As usual, we will have our wonderful food, including favorites like moussaka, pita souvlaki, and then desserts like loukoumades, and then we have Greek coffee.
And at the bar, we have the returning favorite Zorba's Kiss, as well as other amazing Greek drinks, and this year, some new Greek-inspired mocktails.
A big hit at our pavilion is the entertainment. We have our local Daughters of Penelope, Hellenic dancers, and then our local Greek band, Arkadia.
Meantime, right by the police station on Halifax Street, you will find the Latino Pavilion.
When you first step through the building, you'll see the beautiful monarch butterflies all over the place. You'll see a hand-painted bar with amazing calaveras. In that bar, you'll find delicious margaritas, piña coladas. You can even find the virgin variants of those drinks for the kids as well. You'll also smell the delicious homemade tacos, empanadas, tamales, sopapillas. This year, we're going to have free private parking. As well, we're having two new amazing performers.
Of course, last but not least, and this is actually the first pavilion that I went to last year, the Austrian Pavilion at the South Leisure Center.
As soon as you walk through the doors, there's a giant cultural display. Kind of gives you a little insight into the history of Austria and some of our heritage and stuff that people from our community have brought in for many, many years.
And then you go through eventually ending up in the big hall in the Southwest Leisure Center, and that's where all the fun is. We have a huge stage in there, and we have entertainment going pretty close to all the time.
And again, the festival continues tonight and will wrap up tomorrow. Good times. 7:23 on Friday morning. The Riders with a big win to open the season and against what is supposed to be a competitive Ottawa Redblacks team. Joined now by Evan Bray. You were at the game last night.
I was at the game, and it was a roller coaster.
You're not hurt as well after it?
Not hurt.
Everybody else?
Yeah, I was going to say, some of those injuries, gosh, I was like, especially Ouellette, I'm like, no, not again. Yeah, like you know, and yeah, Schaefer, Baker, I mean, some big names, right?
Yeah,
big
Roland
names.
Milligan Jr. Yeah.
But we start off the game. We're down 7-0. I'm kind of like, oh, boy, I don't
know
about
this. Didn't
look
good the first quarter.
Yeah, what wasn't the best. But, yeah, boy, I think they did a great job, stepped it up. Harris looked good. We had a few people step up. Bertrand Houdon stepped up. Great, great game for him. And then the fourth quarter comes along, and with turnovers and, oh, my gosh, like, who would have thought we were enjoying a real comfortable lead going into the fourth?
17 points.
Right. Then they pull within five. But you got to give it to the defense. They, when the chips were down, they stepped up, and we obviously got the win. So, you know what? I'm feeling good about it. I think there's definitely some things they're going to have to work on, but we need to stay healthy.
The announced attendance, 25,973.
Actual attendance? 17,518.
What do you make of that? So you have two schools of thought on this, right? It's early in the season. Some people are saying, you know, it's expensive. It's a weeknight game. We're traveling from hours away, potentially. On the other hand, this is Rider Nation, right? Yeah. This is what we're known for. We're diehards. Where do you stand on this?
Well, I was shocked that it wasn't packed. I would have assumed first game of a season where they are being touted as Grey Cup contenders, that it would have been packed. I'm not convinced that there's a lot of people that live out of town that just let their tickets go by the wayside. You know, they may be people from out of town who decide on a Thursday night not to travel and buy tickets, but you would think there would be enough support willing to travel or in the south end of the province that they would be able to pack that stadium. So I actually was quite shocked. It was just before kickoff, and I said to my wife, I said, what the heck? Where is everybody? They must be getting beer because the seats were so empty, especially the upper deck. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a bit disappointing, if I'm being honest.
Evan Bray with me this morning. Today we mark a special anniversary, the 81st anniversary of D-Day. And earlier in the show, I brought back tape that I had done. And this is, you know what? I look back on my career, and I think this is probably the most memorable, the interview that I did that left the biggest, mm-hmm. had the greatest impact on me. And this was Harold Haig, a Regina D-Day veteran. He's no longer with us. He died in 2020 at the age of 99. But just hearing the stories of him being there on that day and what it was like is some of the most interesting and captivating interview that I've ever done. And those stories are important to remember now.
And I could hear it. I listened, you played a clip of it this morning. I mean, he was an incredible interview and just one of thousands of incredible, inspirational Canadians and Saskatchewanians.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of them. So yeah, in light of the fact that we are on the 81st anniversary, I've got a couple of guests coming in. Brigadier General retired Cliff Walker, who's a heck of a guy. He's a great leader, 35 years military experience. He's full of stories. He's full of wit. I love him to pieces. I've met him many times, so I'm happy to have him at 8:30. And then a guy you should know quite well, being a big Jets fan, Lieutenant Colonel retired Ed Stanowski, who was NHL goaltender for many seasons in the NHL, and then, of course, had a great career in the Canadian Armed Forces
I've interviewed him ahead of the statue unveiling. I think it was
last year. He played a significant role in that.
And so he is, I mean, these guys have great stories to tell. And just, again, outlining the importance of why, you know, why we remember what the sacrifices that they made, these veterans, and that continue to be made now.
I think that's the point, Kev, just very quickly, is we're 81 years out from that happening. You and I are standing here feeling the impact that they had. We need our kids, we need our grandkids to continue to feel and respect the impact they had on Canadian and world history.
Evan Bray is back just after the 8:30 news this morning.